This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So I suppose that we should be talking about the juicy transactions of the NBA. Stugatz, you should be worried.
Why?
That your Knicks and Charlotte seem to be the ones interested in Russell Westbrook. That is, when you look around and your allies, it's not a great thing when your allies are the Knicks and Charlotte when it comes to measuring the future of basketball players. But because we are so obsessed in sports with the fantasy team, with running our own organization, with the idea of being in control of the transaction, being the architect of things, I find fascinating that Theo Epstein has now left the Cubs because, and it's got two reasons for it. One, if this stuff is as unscientific as I think it is, well, we give a whole lot of credit to CEOs and culture building and architects. You can form a pretty decent argument that no one in the history of making teams has the resume that Theo Epstein has. That Theo Epstein managed, the Cubs would be 120-something years, something 110 years without a title if not for Theo Epstein. The Boston Red Sox ended it at two places. Like, nobody's got that. Nobody's got the deal where they created a champion in a deeply caring about baseball or sports town for a place that had gone decades as a loser.
He's done it twice, but you still question?
No, I'm not questioning here. I'm not questioning the ability to do it. I'm questioning his leaving now. I'm just wondering about right. It. It's not even – I'm not here to question what I believe to be at 46 years old, the greatest architect in the history of sports. But another thing that I find interesting about it is after Billy Beane explored the market inefficiencies and exposed the market inefficiencies in a way that I wonder if he's got his own regrets about now, because what happened with Theo Epstein is he took all of the information and the wisdom and just said, okay, I'll do what you do and I'll do it with money. I don't need coupons. I've got two giant teams paying me and paying us a lot of money in order to build something. And so now he's available. And the thing I wonder about, as I did with Daryl Morey, and I wondered about it wrong, Stugatz, because Daryl Morey basically foretold what's happening with the Houston Rockets and that entire exodus when he said, never mind, I'm out of here. And I really thought that Daryl Morey was the kind of person who would have other interests, like, you know, that ridiculous musical that he told us about that we will get the sound for on some of the lyrics of basketball. It was a sexy basketball musical. I thought Daryl Morey was leaving the Houston Rockets to go tackle greater pursuits, more interesting things than basketball.
He was interested in Philadelphia, apparently. I mean,
he had evidently figured out that.
And I'm with you. I thought the same, by the way.
I figured that he topped out whatever it is that was in Houston. He figures, okay, this is as big. I've tried it different ways. I've tried it by changing the way we play basketball, taking more threes than any team in the league. I've tried it by making James Harden into somebody who is a player without scoring precedent. I'm trying something different with Capella, and then I'm going to go small ball. Never mind, I'm done here. I can't. This is it. I've traded for people. I've moved and changed all of the furniture. This is the best that I can do in Houston. Go give me Embiid and Simmons, and I'll work with them. But I didn't think he was going to do that. I thought he was going to explore creative pursuits.
Do we want to have sex with giants or no? It's between 4 and 6. How to bring the parts into compliance. I just cannot grasp the mechanics.
So that is Daryl Morey. What happened? I thought you were on in the pursuit of Daryl Morey. Why has he not been on with us yet?
I reached out to him. He asked me to go through the Philadelphia 76ers. I have made that request through the Sixers. I am waiting to hear back. I'll keep you posted.
I am curious how it all ended in Houston in a way that made everyone want to get out. Westbrook, Harden, everybody wants out of Houston.
Look at the ownership.
Is that it?
It's a different owner. Different owner. They had the whole China thing that affected the owner's business dealings also.
I'd be super curious. I don't know whether they'll ever be honest about this, but I was so embarrassed for James Harden being sent out to do the owner's bidding as the face, the bearded face of that team on China, and him just being ill-equipped with the subject matter and just saying, I like China, like not knowing how to deal with it. I wonder how much any of that had to do with James Harden eventually being like, never mind, get me out of here.
James Harden doesn't have internet. Remember that? Right. There's that whole thing. Point. That he didn't know why he was wearing a thin blue line mask because he doesn't have internet.
With Theo Epstein, I heard Buster Olney on KJZ this morning, and he was talking about that Theo wants to, there's a potential chance for him to be part of an ownership team, and that's where he wants to go. That's where he wants to be.
So he wants to keep moving up.
Maybe the Mets. I mean, how about that?
There might be a lot more money and equity in that, and that would make some sense if you're 46 years old and you've already achieved everything there is to be achieved at two places, because you realize Theo Epstein has...
Do it with the Mets.
Theo Epstein has on his resume, though, twice, something that no one else has one of. Like, he's done it two times.
Maybe he's addicted to chasing that high. It's not just going somewhere with expectations. It's going somewhere with expectations that hasn't done it in a while. You look at all of baseball. You can go to Cleveland or the Mets, which are usually the biggest punchline in the sport.
But do you care much if he's part of your ownership team, if he's not evaluating players and selecting the players?
But he's helping you. He's helping you build.
Okay.
He's the architect.
He's putting people in place that have his touch and his sort of cosign on.
I find many of those things to be subjective, right? Because you can't know what a player is going to become. Stugatz, did you see? I don't know if you guys saw this last night, but it is one of the most unusual interviews that you will see of a prospect coming into a job market where the number one prospect in America or somebody, you know, he's a basketball player, and his name, I don't have it on me right now, but it was an ESPN interview that was going viral in that he said, I don't like basketball so much. And there are funny stories about this, or I'm not that into basketball. Football evidently is his first love, but he is extraordinary at basketball as well. I don't know how you judge whether Josh Rosen cares enough about football to be great at football, or how you take what looks like a high school or collegiate athleticism and figure out how to extrapolate into whether or not that will have success. But if indeed that is an ability, and that ability is in the margins, Theo Epstein, you can make the argument, has it more than anybody. And so if you are fighting other teams competitively for the finding of talent, Theo Epstein also has all the money in the world. And so if you go from Boston, Chicago, if you say you see this Mets ownership, and I don't know, is that who he's being linked to? The Mets owner came out and demanded, like, he won the press conference by saying all the things that arrogant New York loves to hear. I'm here to spend. I'll be disappointed if we don't win in 3 to 5 years. And then the first order of business is Theo Epstein resigns from the Chicago Cubs because he wants to go do it at a third place, because right. The Mets, even with a couple of titles, the Mets are lovable laughingstock losers. Like, historically, they're losers, even though they have on their resume one of the greatest sports miracles that we remember.
I'm making the connection of, you know, he leaves the Cubs, the Mets have a new owner, they're looking to round out that ownership group, and he would be the perfect guy to have there. And so I'm making, it's a leap, I have no idea, but I would assume the Mets are one of the teams he would consider.
We will talk to Jeff Passan and find out what's going on with Theo Epstein. Thank you, Tony. Anthony Edwards is the prospect.
Yes.
He's got a bunch of questions around him. I don't know if it's true or not, because I'm confused by the internet all the time. I don't know if Jimmy Butler's actually dating Selena Gomez or if the internet tricked me. I don't know if it's true that Anthony Edwards is in a position where he is bringing his own food to Benihana's, but it is said that he has been. I would like to have that verified. I would like for someone to verify for me whether the prospect Anthony Edwards thought that that was just a personal hibachi place that you bring your own stuff to and you just throw some shrimp at the chef and tell him to make it for you, because it is something that has been reported about Anthony Edwards, but it might be the internet just fooling me the same way it did with Kawhi Leonard just sitting around eating apples all the time.
Don Libertard.
Stan, have you ever flown on a private plane?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on, man. He was...
Yeah.
Stugatz.
Would you agree with this? Would you agree with what I'm about to say?
Well, I agree with everything you say, so yes. Okay. Yes.
You choose your spots on agreeing with me.
Agreed. This is the Don Libertard Show on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. All guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Jeff Passan will join us there in about 15 minutes.
Mike Ryan just said to me very helpfully, Jeff Passan will join us in 15 minutes to talk about Theo Epstein. Please don't make him Jeffrey Epstein. I offer you no promises in that regard. Ricky Williams is going to join us at 11 o'clock Eastern. Richard Lewis, my nemesis, and our Ohio State correspondent,
of course,
will join us to laugh at Michigan.
Big one against the Hoosiers this weekend. How about that?
I don't think that's ever been said before in football.
No.
Put that on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Has it ever been said in football, big one against the Hoosiers this weekend? So I wanted to get into something with you, Stugatz, because I find difficult sometimes these measurements, right, we do on quarterbacks. I don't know how much Ryan Tannehill has been affected by his left tackle going out, but it would appear that he has been affected by that. Lamar Jackson is playing with a lot of different pieces this year because of the health issues in that sport. And now Kansas City, their offensive line, has got some positive tests. I heard you talking during the break about selling negative tests. What were you talking about? That it, not you personally selling negative tests, but you thought it was a good idea, evidently, that you suspected
someone in South Florida was
selling negative tests.
I didn't say it was a good idea. I didn't say it's something I wish I had thought of, although now that I'm thinking about it, perhaps it is something I wish I thought of. I am saying that there is no doubt in my mind that someone in South Florida is selling negative tests. Yes.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Is someone in South Florida selling negative tests? Why are you laughing, Guillermo? Because you know good and well that Stugatz was saying to himself, damn, such a good idea. I wish I had thought of it.
Well, because now I'm imagining Stugatz going and you're like, Stugatz, I want to get one of those negative COVID tests that he's selling illegally, and he just hands you like a negative pregnancy test. Like, this is not the same thing.
The weed dealer that sells you oregano, that would be Stugatz with the negative test. But as we talk about like the measurements of these things, Stugatz, and how difficult they can be and how much they're changing, right? Because basically, in football, they've gotten so sophisticated with the precision and the accuracy that the running back is disposable because these short passes have become the running game. Like, they've just figured out how to neutralize Jadeveon Clowney. He gets there faster than all but four players in the league, but he's neutralized. He gets no sacks because it's hard to get sacks. And the thing that I wanted to ask you about when it comes to turnovers, the analysis that I have said that is a bit of a fatal flaw, as you've seen the sport evolve in Josh Allen, what you've seen the last couple of weeks from Russell Wilson that is a bit confusing and is why he has now, you know, lost some of his MVP sheen, is because he's losing the football and turnovers are being accentuated more than they ever have been. The best quarterbacks are throwing up turnover rates that are under 5, like for a season. They just don't make mistakes like that. And the stat that I want to look at as it relates to the quarterback position and recklessness isn't actually turnovers, Stugatz. It's something that Pro Football Focus calls most turnover worthy plays. Don't you like that better as a stat? Like, you look at a stat and you can see fumbles and interceptions. But don't you like better as a stat the thing that takes the happenstance out of it, that the quarterback made a decision that could have resulted in a turnover, but every once in a while or too often, the cornerback has frying pans for hands, and that's why he's not a wide receiver. Because all over the league, every Sunday, you see a bunch of guys dropping balls that are thrown right at him on defense.
Right.
Don't you prefer to take some of the happenstance on that, or do you just want – give me interceptions and fumbles. That's all I want.
Do we have it the other way, where maybe a wide receiver ran the wrong route and Russell makes a pass and therefore gets intercepted? Does it work both ways like that?
The people who are doing these measurements, Troy Aikman said of the Russell Wilson interceptions last week while analyzing the game, he's like, well, one of them came on fourth down and one of them came on third and long. So those aren't basically interceptions is what he was saying. He's right. Like, it was a desperation play and you're just sort of punting, and so that shouldn't count the same. All this stuff is measured by people who do it. But do you care? The top four quarterbacks in the league, or the worst four quarterbacks in the league, when it comes to turnover-worthy plays, is that something that you wish to know? Or because you're anti-data. You're allergic to it. You don't want too much information until you start reading, and then every time you do it, you're like, oh, information is nice when I choose to consume it.
That's why I'm torn on this one. It has piqued my curiosity, but if you didn't pick it off, you didn't pick it off. You know, like, I don't care if it was almost an interception. You either intercept it or you don't.
Okay,
you know?
So what about you, Mike? Do you have a preference in terms of how you're analyzing your quarterback?
Yeah, because my quarterback was very unlucky last year.
But you care
so
about...
I was grasping at straws to explain why he was so turnover prone last year. He was very unlucky in that regard.
But Mike, so you care about balls that should have been intercepted that weren't? Like, you care about the amount of times that he's doing that?
Yeah, and I care about balls that could have been caught that turned into interceptions.
Well, among the four worst guys in the sport, the very worst, let's do this from the bottom toward the worst. Let's go from, and we've got four here, so I need my fanfare here before we get to Jeff Passan.
Exciting.
To talk about Theo Epstein. With 14, according to Pro Football Focus, turnover-worthy plays this season, coming in at fourth on this list, Drew Lock. Third on this list, with 15 turnover plays, Lamar Jackson. Turnover-worthy plays. Number 17, turnover-worthy plays, Josh Allen. And number one on the list, with six more than Josh Allen. You got some guesses? You got some guesses here? Six worse than Josh Allen.
I'll go Russell Wilson.
We've got eight worse than Lamar Jackson. Is Carson Wentz.
You Wentz there.
It's Stugat's favorite time of the day. At time.
I also have an idea as to why you Wentz there. That was all an effort to point out Josh Allen, right? I mean.
I was surprised that Carson Wentz was that bad. I was surprised.
Really?
Yeah, because that's Stugatz, 23. Like, Ben Roethlisberger was reckless a couple of years ago. Jameis Winston lost his job for recklessness. 23 turnovers? We're halfway through the season.
It's actually not surprising watching them. He also can't hold on to the ball either. It's just, well, I don't know why they... Why would you draft Jalen Hurts, who already did the difficult thing in embarrassing Carson Wentz by taking a quarterback that high? So pull the trigger.
Don Lebatard.
We just love laughing at losers.
Stugatz.
Orthoscopic?
Try again.
Orthoscopic.
The R. You got to get the R sound in there.
Orth.
R.
Orthro. This is the Don Lebatard Show on ESPN Radio.
Ricky Williams going to join us in about a half hour. Jeff Passan going to join us right now. All guests in the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W-30.
Andre Drummond has exercised the clause that pays him $28.7 million to play for the Cleveland Cavaliers. That was first reported by Andre Drummond on Stupidity with Stugatz. Stugatz was venting yesterday. Why aren't these people giving me credit? Why isn't everyone saying, as reported by Stugatz, he was legitimately mad about that? Is that the greatest news break of your career, Stugatz? Andre Drummond saying he's
yes, it is.
Saying
yes,
he's yes. opting back in with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I believe that it is, yes. I've never broken news before. I haven't broken any since. And so, yeah, yep, that's the biggest scoop of my career.
All right, very good. So he is still not getting credit, but we will continue to give him credit around here.
A couple of DC sports blogs picked up on your random interview with Jay Gruden while Dan was out.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
you're a news hound like Jeff Passan. Before we get to Jeff Passan, though, let's finish up here with Christine Lisi.
And finally, Scotland boasts the shortest commercial flight in the world. The flight goes between two islands in Orkney, Scotland, and lasts just 47 seconds. Speaking of being oddly proud of lasting just 47 seconds, Stu, back to you.
Yes.
40. Yes. I wish it was 47 seconds.
Are you including the cigarette in the sandwich?
You're tacking on an extra 20 seconds for me.
Jeff Passan with us on ESPN Radio. Always enjoy his expertise and his professionalism. Can you please tell us, Jeff, thank you for being on with us, the level of surprise at what happened with Theo Epstein and Chicago?
I thought you were going to say the level of surprise that you got to actually last 37 seconds.
What would be your guess, Passan? What would be your guess? Over or under? Where would you put to get even betting on Stugatz? Over or under what on Stugatz sensual escapades?
I'm not a bookmaker, mind you, but I'm taking way under on 37 seconds.
Oh, wow.
I'm definitely below the Mendoza line.
All right. I mean, very good. Yeah. Passan, were you surprised?
No. This has been telegraphed for a while now, and not just by Theo Epstein telling friends and other confidants that, you know, this is going to be the end of the road here coming up. But he has always said, and I think Bill Walsh maybe is the one who originally said this, that there's a shelf life on staying in a particular place. And I think he thinks it applies not just to sports, but pretty much everywhere. Once you reach 10 years, things potentially start getting stale, and maybe you don't have the passion that you once did, and maybe the excitement of the job isn't there. And especially I think that goes if you've accomplished the things that you've wanted to. And despite the fact that the Cubs, with this extremely talented roster that they had, won only one championship when Theo Epstein was there, they won a championship, and that was something that they hadn't done in the previous century. So I think him leaving was not surprising, and it's just a question at this point, where is he going to end up, and as much as that, when is he going to do it? Is he actually going to be the executive who says, I'm going to take a year off to spend some time with my family and do things that I want to do and not end up in another job 2 weeks down the road?
Well, what do you think? What's next for him?
Theo Epstein is somebody who is always looking for a challenge. And there is no question right now that the challenge of the New York Mets is a big one. I don't know. Maybe I'm naive in thinking that he actually is going to step away for a year, because I think when you're in a job like president of baseball operations or like a general manager, like, you know, whatever that type of job is, when you're in it and you're someone who is devoting all of that time and energy, sometimes you just got to recharge your batteries. And Theo Epstein is not like this baseball, you know, this crazy baseball person who needs to sleep in his office and eats, breathes, and lives baseball. He's got other interests. And, you know, he's interested in politics, and he's interested in music, and he's interested in his children, and he's a well-rounded person, and getting away for a year may not be a bad thing for him. I think he's also, and he spoke to this yesterday, I think he's also interested in how baseball is not fun sometimes. And I don't mean that like bat flipping or excitement. No, the game is just boring a lot of times these days, and he took some culpability of that, saying that, you know, guys of my ilk who have been running teams have been so focused on trying to squeeze every last bit of value out of players and out of situations that the game has, it's gotten out of balance. There are too many strikeouts. You know, Theo Epstein was the guy, really the driving force early on, behind the three-batter minimum, because he thought, what are we doing just shuttling in relievers in and out? It slows the pace down. The game just stinks right now sometimes. And so I think if he can work with the commissioner's office, if he can work with the players, if he can be some kind of conduit between the two of them so that they can actually get something accomplished and fix baseball a little bit, then he'd be doing a lot better for the game than he would be inside of a front office.
The best three baseball architects ever, according to Jeff Passan. History's greatest team builders. Go ahead, and from the bottom up, I want to see where Theo Epstein lands here, if he lands somewhere for Jeff Passan. Number three, according to Jeff Passan, is?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I know who number one is.
Okay, very good, Passan.
We didn't ask.
All right, Passan, that's fine. Let's do it your way. Say it as Elmo, and we'll get you out of here. Who's the number one?
Is that all you really wanted?
Yeah, that's all we had you here for. But now you made it dirty. Now we have to go. We can't even fool around anymore. We can't do this nice, slow, and leisurely. We got to go straight to number one because you don't want this thing to be slow and rhythmic.
That's a great point. I appreciate you giving me the heads up that you were going to ask me a question that requires deep thought, and I came in completely unprepared.
It requires expertise. I filibustered, asked the question a little longer than I would so you'd have time to think about it. Yep. It requires your level of perspective and knowledge.
I'm sorry, Jeff. Dan put you in a really tough spot. Dan, your top five college baseball programs, beginning with number five, go.
top five college baseball
go ahead,
programs
I'm ready.
Ever?
You got to have USC
all
in
right,
there.
University of Texas.
Boom.
USC. The University of Miami.
Attaboy.
The Maine Black Bears.
Yes.
And Rice. Just because I always like rice. I like my carbs. So what do you got, Passan? Number three, Passan. The third best baseball executive architect ever is?
Number one is Branch Rickey.
Why is that, Elmo? Why is it Branch Rickey?
Branch Rickey. Because he signed Jackie Robinson.
That's right.
And because he won championships. And because he was a very nice man. And Elmo loves nice man.
Yes, I understand. Thank you.
Oh my God, my wife. I'm sorry. My wife is horrified. She's upstairs right now, and she heard me doing the Elmo voice and just went, ugh.
See you later, Passan. Thank you, sir.
Bye, guys.
See you, Jeff.
Don Levitard.
I don't respect your opinion.
Stugatz.
Getting angry, Dan.
This is the Don Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. News from the Dan Levitard Show Nation. Someone has hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. @_theswindler on Twitter says, I see why Dan did that insanely boring segment. He will never get off that hill he has died on. Say it with me, Dan. Josh Allen is good.
Haven't I already said that? I already said he's above
average.
You're
finding these little creative, clever ways to point out that maybe he's not as good as we think he is. That's all.
I was doing a segment about turnover-worthy plays and the measurements. Man, if we're going to make all of these Theo Epsteins, these leaders who can build cultures wherever they go because they're better at evaluating the possibilities of the future for athletes. If we're going to do that with these guys, then I think we should know something as fans and customers about the metrics being used and the measurements being used. Like if you have the ability to be a smarter fan than you've ever been before, and that's where we are in 2020, you could choose not to be that fan. You can make fun of people who treat their sports that way, but it's always going to be interesting to me.
But to the guy's point on Twitter, if you did four quarterbacks, if Josh Allen was fifth, would you have done five quarterbacks?
Buddy, I honest to God on that one, I understand that you guys think that I want to go after Josh Allen, even though he's had some bad games here recently and I haven't said anything about him. Yeah. But I was more interested in the fact that Carson Wentz is six turnovers worse than what I believe to be the most reckless quarterback in the sport.
Okay.
Billy's got some opinions here before we got before we get to Ricky Williams. And I think he just I don't know what his opinion is on your beard. I just know that he's had he's had some observations about your beard.
Yep.
Stugatz has stopped caring a long time ago. He's got beards in his ear.
I do.
Because he just stopped caring about the way that he looks.
This is a playoff beard, by the way. Okay? I promised my lacrosse team they're undefeated. We have one tournament left, and I promised them I would not shave it until the season's over. So with that said, Billy, go ahead.
I have been fawning over Stugatz's beard the last 2 days. Now, we see him every day on Zoom, but it's not like an HD camera. I don't know how everyone else sees Stugatz's beard. It just looks like his normal stubble, right? Yesterday, he recorded something for me on his iPhone and sent me the video, and I was blown away by how long his beard actually is. It doesn't look that long over the Zoom. On this video that he sent me, it looks absolutely incredible. I don't know why he hasn't had this beard longer. It looks like he's Tim Allen transforming into the Santa Claus, but it's such a good look. It looks great. And when he's saying playoff beard, that's what it is. Now, it's a girls lacrosse amateur, whatever, 15-year-old playoff. It's a strange thing to be having a playoff beard for.
Yeah.
It looks incredible.
Thank you. Listen, my wife hates it, but everyone else in my life loves it. Now, perhaps I should be more concerned about what she thinks than everyone else in my life, but I'm not.
Well, you're not doing anything in the way of grooming it, right? You don't have any beard experience. You're basically just letting it grow unruly. It is climbing very high, werewolfian, up on your face because it's covered your cheeks. Like, you're not shaping and sculpting that thing.
No, but the hair goes all the way up to, like, my eyes. Remember one time I had a cut under my eye from shaving because that's how high the hair goes, right under my eye. But Mike taught me a lesson about just trimming some of that stuff off the top of my cheeks and really at the bottom of my neck. You gave me that lesson. And so I feel like it looks a little cleaner than it did in weeks past, perhaps. But
well, it looks like you've had a bit of a radioactive accident with the way, just how quickly it has charred. The colors charred quickly. I did not realize, and correct me if I'm wrong, I know that he's been playing the mischievous 11-year-old around here for a long time, but I did not realize that Stugatz had that much world weariness built into his graying hair.
Yeah, he's aged a little bit during the pandemic, but, I mean, who hasn't?
Right. This is what Clooney's beard would look like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, many are saying this. Stugatz, when is your season over?
This weekend, after this weekend.
Yeah, okay.
No, it is.
Yeah, it's adorable.
We don't believe you because there's going to be another lacrosse mitzvah here in 3 weeks. Nobody believes you. And by the way, during the break, I saw it happen. Stugatz has indeed started a negative test company. He will sell you a negative virus test on a street corner. Ricky Williams, next.